the gospel of the Lord Jesus is not what I deserve to preach. It's what I'm allowed by God to preach. And each time I'm privileged to hold the microphone, I'm humbled at his love and his compassions that do not fail. I want to thank the Lord for giving me this privilege to be a part of this great family this morning. To him alone be all the glory in the name of Jesus. There are people that come into your life and you scream, "Where have you been, for God's sake?" I wish I had met Pastors Shola and Tumishe Wedemi when I was in my mother's womb. Fantastic couple, Christians. I'm not deceived by the largeness of a church, by the sophistication of the equipment in the church. I'm well-traveled by the grace of God. Not every preacher is a Christian. Not everyone that is eloquent is a servant of God. So when people come into my life, because access is the greatest gift anybody can give you, I'm always careful. Because when people come into your life, they bring all sorts. All sorts. So when God brought them my way, my spiritual antenna was very up. Lord, who are they? You are blessed in this house to be pastored by true and genuine servants of God. I thought you'd be more excited about it. I've made up my mind to befriend you, and it's too late for you to change your minds about it. The Lord bless both of you, elongate your life, and take you to higher heights. And all the honors you have sowed into my life, in the name of Jesus, you will reap. Amen. Both in this world and the world to come. Amen. I love both of you and your children. I love even your dog. Everything that has your tag, I love. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. I thank the Lord for this church. In my capacity, I want to thank you for... You are the church that has given me the greatest support and encouragement when it comes to the Mother Summit in London. When God gave me that vision, I told him reasons why it shouldn't be me, and I gave him names as if he didn't know. And he insisted that I should go to the nations of the world to bring mothers together so they can pray for their children. God told me it's a rescue mission. There's nothing like praying. There are things that are beyond you in life. And when you commit them to the hand of the Lord. And it was at that time God brought Pastor Tumishe into my life. And today I call her the chief hostess for London Mother Summit. I thank you, this church. I thank you. I'm heartily grateful. You will not lose your rewards. Nobody serves the God of Jacob in vain. I want all of you to know that God is up to something good in your lives. Each time you give something, it may leave your hand, but it doesn't leave your life. I want you to know that when you need help most, you will not lack it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for the sacrifices. I can't be mentioning your names, but I want you to know that I'm really grateful. I thank the Lord for the servants of God that are seated here this morning. The Lord bless you. And I must say that your protocol is something else in this church. I thank God for Minister Sarah and her husband. Thank you. Pastor Wumi Ademola is one of the blessings of God in my life. She and her husband, we've been in this relationship for quite some time now. And my God, you want to know a woman that knows the heartbeat of God? It is this beautiful woman. I celebrate you and I thank God for you. Hallelujah. I bring you greetings from the best man God ever created. Forgive me if it's your turn to hold the mic. You can just say anything about your husband. My husband of 27 years. When I met him, I was nothing. Jesus used him to teach me. I was timid. I was shy. Life had beaten me. And everybody had told me nothing good could come out of my life. I was poor. I was ugly. And God used him to possibilitize my mentality. God used him to let me know that there is something on my inside. All the days of my life, I will I will honor Bishop Felix Adejumo. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to use the hair on my head to wipe his feet for giving me the privilege to be Mrs. Adejumo. My husband has been fantastic. He's done several things. He's built houses for the children and for me. He's bought us cars. He's given us the basic things of life. But the greatest thing he's done for me is that he has allowed me to be me. He's given me the freedom to be me. There are two things a man must give his wife. You must give your wife as a married man space, and you must give your wife place. Space and place. My husband has given me the two. He has given me the freedom to be me. He has allowed me to give expression to the grace of God upon my life. And that helps me to support him. That made me to say to God, if this man fails, hold me responsible. I'm going to stand by him so much. No, I will so much Delilah proof him. Jezebel proof him. There is nothing any woman able to do it. But you hear a man of God that has fallen, not my own. By the grace of God. Prayer cover him, Satan prove him. Because he's allowed me to give expression to the grace of God. My husband is one of the most secure men on earth. A lot of men are cowards. When a man wants his wife to die in the kitchen, he's very close to the grave. When a man is not secure enough to fan his wife to flame, something is wrong with him. When a man raises his hand to beat his wife, he needs a psychiatrist to check him. So as a man, if you're listening to me this morning, brace up and be a man indeed. Real men allow their wives to shine. Real men. Immature men shut them down. Shut up. Who is speaking and you are speaking? You are a woman. When God created Eve, he didn't take her to a tiger. He didn't take her to a lion. He didn't take her to a boss. He took her to a man. And the man said, wow. Every man must learn how to wow his wife. Wow your wife. My husband called me this morning and said, the only special coin in my life. I said, go on. And you woke up this morning, what did you tell your wife? I'm going to church. If you don't like, if you like, hurry up, hurry up. If you don't like, hurry up. Pastor Shala has asked me to speak on relationship matters this morning, and there is no way I can speak on that for 45 minutes. It will take me 3 days. So I better stay here and be living here. And then my husband will take the next flight. Praise the Lord. So I'm just going to give you bits, you know, on that. Relationship matters. My daughter has been introduced. She's very special to me, so I won't have to go back, you know, to that. Praise the Lord. Now, in the book of Colossians, chapter number 3, verse 17 to 25. Colossians, chapter 3, 17 to 25. If you are there, cough like a rich man. Okay? Colossians 3, yes, they always cough gently, you know, it's better to be rehearsing. Colossians 3, 17 says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Praise the Lord. There are five things that are most important in life. Very crucial. If you succeed in these five areas of your life, you are truly a success. If you do not succeed in these five areas of your life, you are a colossal failure. Life is not run by miracles. Life is governed by principles. while the earth remaineth. Earth is governed, or life is governed, by principles. So if you succeed in these five areas, you are truly a success. And each of them stands tall in its own right. But we're going to look at just one today. But let me just mention these five things. Number one is God. God did not create a world in which he will not be needed. If you're here this morning and you have not allowed God to fill the God-shaped vacuum in your heart, you better wake up to reality, the reality of life. Because life is essentially a battlefield, and sometimes it can be bloody. There is a God-shaped vacuum in every human being, green, black, yellow, white, tall, dark, male, and female, that money cannot fill. Nothing else can fill it except God. That's why there must be a time in your life when you have come to Calvary, when you have given your life to Jesus. That you come to church every day does not make you a Christian. That you give the highest tithe in this church does not make you a Christian. Is your name in the book of life? Does God know you? Do you have a personal relationship with God? Very important. God is very, very important. I'm not talking about him this morning, but please take note that you must be born again. Number two, most important thing in your life is you. You are important, more important than anybody on earth. So you must learn to validate yourself. You must learn to invest into yourself. You must learn to like yourself. You must learn to celebrate yourself. If you hand over the driver's seat of your life to people, they will make you have a motor accident in life. If you wait for people to applaud you before you applaud yourself, you will wait in vain. You must wake up in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror and say, God, you tried. God, you did well. God, you must have spent extra time creating me. You don't look at yourself and then you begin to talk down on yourself and you begin to run yourself down. Beloved, there are people that are waiting for your shame, and I decree that they shall wait in vain. It's your birthday and nobody remembers. Go to the mall, buy a card, post it to yourself, receive it to yourself, open it and sing to yourself. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to me. You must learn to celebrate yourself. You must like what you see in the mirror. Don't say, I'm too this, I'm too that. Somebody looks at you and says you are too fat. Tell the person, have you not read in the Bible? Psalm 92, the righteous shall be fat. You don't have to be a figure eight to be beautiful. Don't kill yourself. Like yourself. You are important. I don't have the time to explain that. It will take me 1 hour to tell you about you. You are important. As you stand, when God created you, he threw the mold away. There are no two of you. Your fingerprint, everything about you is customized. Important. Celebrate yourself. Walk the way you like. Don't be proud, but don't allow anybody to pull you down. It takes your consent. Don't allow anybody to make you feel bad. A brother said he was going to marry you, and then he jilted you. Have you not heard that the heart of man, not woman, is desperately wicked? And then you're crying and crying. The man is even married. You are still crying over spilled milk. What's wrong with you? Repackage your life, because the man God will give you, the latchet of the shoes, this man will not be able to lose it. When somebody is messing up, another one is warming up. Like yourself. Believe in yourself. Dress with your future in mind. Stop wearing rags. Stop looking up to people to buy love from them. If somebody is wearing a designer wear, I'm glad to let you know that what you are also wearing is designer. It may be designed by Phone Carefully Studio Gym or PLC, but somebody designed it. It doesn't have to be Gucci to be... No, whatever. Cross your legs, celebrate yourself, be happy. It is your responsibility to be happy. People can inspire you, but you have the choice to be happy. It is your responsibility in life to make yourself happy. There's nobody that's not going through some stuff. Don't be deceived by the makeup. Don't be deceived by the big Bibles that pastors carry. The rich also cry. Like yourself and be happy. You are very important. I'm just introducing my message this morning. God is important. You are important. Number three, your family is important. And I'm
placing them in their order of priority. Five most important things in life. God, then you, then your family. Your family is important. I've lost my respect for many Christian leaders, many political leaders who are successful in their career, but they are useless. Failures in their marriages. If your Christianity does not work at home, excuse me, stop exporting it. You have no right to teach me what to do if it's not working in your life. You can't pastor one woman and two children, and then you come here and you're opening the book of Zephaniah and the book of Habakkuk. Shut up. I don't want to hear some preachers. Show me your wife and I can tell what kind of a man you are. Before you describe a man as great, let's see his wife. Let's see his children. Let's see his quiver, what is inside. Pigments or dwarfs? Let's see. If your anointing does not work at home, then you're not anointed. You say, my wife is a devil. Change him. Are you, change her. Are you not anointed? Cast out the devil and bring something. After all, Jesus did it for Mary Magdalene. After four children, she's a devil. Because you saw one panel beating Volkswagen girl in the choir. The Lord is speaking to me now. The way I'm looking at it, my wife is a devil. She wasn't a devil when she had two. Then you hear pastors say, in my first marriage, the fact that a bishop did it does not make it right. Stop patterning your life after them. Pattern your life after the Bible. I said, no matter how bad this world becomes, Jesus will still meet a remnant. Amen. Some of us have made up our mind not to spoil ourselves with the king's meat. I told some people recently, forget about my makeup and my pants and my jeans. My head is correct when it comes to things of God. Amen. I've been working with Jesus. This is my 33rd year. Your family life, very important. Number four is your career. You are not an escort in life. So go and matter. If you're an accountant, be the accountant. If you're a pastor, be the pastor. Be the. I made up my mind. I won't die as a woman. I will die as an institution. That after I've left, they will still be doing research about my life. There's nowhere you will come in contact with me and your life will remain the same. Something good must happen to you. That's what I've made up my mind. I'm living for 15 reasons. And some of these reasons have A, B, C, D. So I don't have friends. Because relationship demands explanation. How did you do it? Did your husband sleep with you? No, did he cross his leg? I don't have the time. When we get to heaven, we do only two things. We'll worship the Lord, and then we'll visit one another. So all the visitations I couldn't do on earth, when I get to heaven, I will do it for you. But let's just get there first. Your career. Be the... I told some women recently, there are some wives whose husbands cannot slap. When the man raises his hand and he remembers who you are, he will just do like this. You see, I was just saying, don't let the devil be disturbing us in this home, eh? The man cannot tell you, because in Africa, it's the opposite here. In Africa, a man can just wake up one morning and become crazy and say, you are packing out of this house today. There are some wives whose husbands cannot say that too. Because the man knows if you pack out, even the window blinds are gone. The carpet is gone. He said, we should be kind to ourselves in this house. Eh? Every demon in this house, let's send it away. If until your husband comes, you cannot buy anything, you are a disgrace to us as women. A colossal failure. All you live for is to have sex, cook good meals, and go to the labor room and have children. Even mad women have children. So what have you done that is extra? What have you done? I have two biological daughters and two sons. And the way I'm raising my daughters is even showing the husbands will feel privileged to marry them. They will thank me regularly. Mommy, just to say thank you. Because I won't give them any liability to marry. Assets. That I don't want any Lapidoth. I don't want a Nibal. That's why you must have the number of children you can have. If I just got married, I got married 27 years. If I just got married, now I have only two children. Whether girls or boys. Every year we see you are pregnant. Every year you are pregnant. You have boys, you have girls. Is it Amaphrodite you want to deliver? career. I went back to school after 4 children. I went back to the university. When I noticed that my husband's circle of friends was changing. And I said to myself, one day you will no longer fit this man. You better invest into your life now. So I went back. Your husband is talking to politics. You are talking tomatoes. The man is talking about Arsenal and Chelsea. I say, I see. I see. You can't contribute nothing. You must be something. You must be. And can I quickly say this? Every woman, I've not even begun my message. Every woman must be a different thing to her husband every time. A research was done using a cock and some hens. And it was discovered that the cock was made to have sex with one hen. After 5 rounds, it couldn't go again. The same cock was made to have sex with many hens, and it went 15 times. So it was discovered that the male species hates boredom. Therefore, as a married woman, for instance, you must be a different thing to your husband every time. The man must not be able to predict you. Today it is long dress. Tomorrow it is a short one. Next tomorrow it is called short hair. Next one it is another thing. But the nightwear that you inherited when your grandmother died, that she put in her will, you see what you are wearing every night. Say your husband is committing adultery. The man is bored. He wants to have sex with you. He's only missionary style every day. You are always under. Have you not heard? Come up hither. Change your address. What are you doing underneath? That shall be the head and not the tail. When will I start this message to you? God is important, followed by you, then your family, then your career, and then 5, relationships. And that's what I have been asked to speak on, and I've not started. Relationships. Beloved, as I studied the scriptures, I discovered that God is a God of relationship. The Bible says in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse number 18, 2 Chronicles 6, 18, Solomon was speaking. And then he said, but will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? Solomon was speaking. God is so big. He's so magnificent. He's so mighty. The heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. Yet, because of relationship, God shares that heaven with an innumerable number of angels. And yet, the Bible says it cannot contain him. There are the 24 elders in heaven sharing that same heaven with him. The Bible talks about the 4 beasts. They are there. Why? Because God believes in relationship. It's possible for God to say, I am a 1-in-1 God. But he says, I am a 3-in-1 God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Why? Relationship. He decided not to be a 1-in-1 God. Relationship. As you start the scriptures, Old Testament, you find God refer to Abraham as Abraham, my friend. So if God needs relationship, we are too small not to need it. Relationship is essentially a gift from God. A gift from God. Relationship is essentially a privilege. Every human being needs help. From the cradle to the grave, you need help. It's a sign of pride to say, I can do it all by myself. I tell single sisters, don't marry a man that says, I don't fear nobody. The day there will be a problem in the palace, there will be no Mordecai to cry to. When you see a man that doesn't fear anybody, that there's nobody you can report him to, he's a danger on 2 legs. Flee from him. God believes in relationship. Relationship is a privilege. From the cradle to the grave, you need relationship. Let me explain this to you. As great as you are today, as educated as you are, as anointed as you are, as blessed and as wealthy as you are, when you were going to come to planet Earth, you needed somebody to conceive you. You couldn't conceive yourself. So a man and a woman came together, conceived you. And when it was time for you to be protected, to be shielded, to be nurtured, a woman had to carry you in her womb. You disfigured her. That's why your mother must not curse you. The other day I was watching CNN and it was discovered that the most beautiful word in the English language is the word mother. No woman can adequately explain to you what she goes through during labor. That's why they call it labor. No woman. If a woman touches her womb or her breast to curse a child, it will take God. Take care of your mother. I can't get into a lot of things today. Take care of your mother. A lot of people are not prosperous today because there are unspoken curses. When you get married, snatch your mother-in-law from your husband. Don't say she has come again. Because life is not governed by miracles. Life is governed by principles. If you don't sow it, you have no right to reap it. My mother-in-law is 100 and something. The other day, I went to see her in her room. I brought her to start living with us. And I said, you're going to die in my hand. Even before I left the house, I said, God, don't let her die. I want this woman to die in my hand. One day, she held her hair. Her head, all gray. She was naked. And she started blessing me. I said, Mama, you are naked. She said, yes, I know. I have to bless you. The other day, when I went to her room, she said, excuse me, I'm coming. And then she stood up. Poo-poo was coming out. 100 and something. My husband is the last born. My husband is 56, going to 57 this June. I tell him regularly, your mother had you after moving from menopause to menostop. As this old woman stood up, poo-poo was coming. I went on my floor cleaning after her, smelling. And the Lord said to me, you just passed a test. Amen. It was not convenient. I was cleaning after her. It wasn't the big, you know, solid one. Soft, watery. I was cleaning on my floor. My housekeeper saw, he didn't know I saw him, peeped and ran back. Speaking. You just passed a test. Take care of your mother. Take care of your mother-in-law. It's a seed. There's no daughter-in-law that can handle me anyhow. I didn't sow it, so I can't repeat. After you were nurtured and it was time for you to be delivered, it took a team of people. You couldn't deliver yourself. You couldn't give yourself the first meal. You couldn't give yourself the first bath. Beloved, the little education you have today or the plenty education you have, it has taken people to impart you. You can't be your own, except in London. You can't be your own driver, your own cook, your own this, your own that, you know. And do you know what? When your work on earth is done, and you are 100, and if Jesus tarries and you go home, you will not be able to give yourself a befitting burial. It will take people to bury you from the cradle to the grave. You need relationship. But you know, one of the greatest tragedies of life is to be surrounded by the people that are unnecessary and irrelevant to your destiny. I call them fire extinguishers, dream killers, vision stiflers. There are women today that will have gone further than where they are, if not for the kind of men they are married to. There are men today that will have been better in life, more successful, if not for the kind of women they are married to. Singles that are listening to me this morning, close one eye in prayer, open the other one in watching before you choose. They say love is blind, marriage is the eye opener. After marriage, you will discover. Don't close two eyes and say, I saw angel. Angel Jeremiah appeared to me that. Close one in prayer, open the other one. Look very well before you marry. And at the days when you say, I just saw a vision. Sometimes love fails in marriage. I'm being real with you. God needs relationship, then we're too small not to need it. There are two kinds of relationships. And if
I say half the time, we have the vertical relationship and we have the horizontal relationship. The vertical relationship is the one you have with God, the Almighty. Please do your best to love him and worship him and serve him. I still go to church to sweep. My husband and I pastor thousands of people by his grace. Many branches. And we are blessed. We're not poor. But I will sweep till Jesus comes. When I'm 92, I will consider if I should retire from sweeping the church. It was broom phone God gave me before he exchanged it with microphone. That broom phone, I will sweep and clean and sweep and clean all the days of my life, even as an aged person. I still go to church to sweep because I'm first a Christian before I'm any other thing. Bishop's wife, nonsense. Remove all the titles. Just let me be a Christian. Your vertical relationship determines if your horizontal relationship will succeed. It is what God pours into you. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Anytime God wants to butter your bread as a man, he gives you a spiritual woman who can prayer cover you. Let me tell you something, men, you don't have power. That is why you can never win an argument with your wife. Don't even bother. Don't start a fight with your wife because you can never win a woman. That's the way we are created. Inside every woman, there are seven powers. Is there? Every woman, whether she's a devil or she's anointed. Everything God forgot when he created you as a man, he put in us. You don't have breasts, you don't have womb. So that's why you call us womb woman, womb woman. A woman is more powerful. Forget about Paul saying he wasn't married though. Paul said he's a 3 times a weaker vessel. You too, you know your wife is stronger than you. You both went to work, you came back, you are watching the TV, she's cooking. She's up again at 5 o'clock, you know now. Let God try a man with pregnancy for 1 week. You will see what I'm talking about. A woman is very strong. Women, they know what I'm saying. If your wife looks at you and says, don't worry, it's done, you can go to bed. But if your wife calls you by your first name and says, Jude, be careful. Jude, the son of Zechariah. You better prostrate. Because what the whole army of the Philistines couldn't get, Delilah, one woman got it. Jezebel came in one day and saw her husband. The man was, he said, what's wrong? He said, it is neighbor. Naboth. He said, oh, I even thought it is Labour Party or Cameron or all of them. Oh, is it that? Did she not get it? A woman. That's why you must not marry a Jezebel. That's why you must not mismarry. Because your wife can make you or finish you. That's why every mother must pray that God will give you correct daughters-in-law. It's important that you start praying early for your children. Because it doesn't matter what you have invested into your children. Marriage cancels it if it is missed. When a man misses it in the area of his marriage, over 90% of his life is wasted. It's true. Nobody sleeps in the office except something is wrong. Even if you're a pastor, no matter how anointed, you won't sleep in the church. There's a home to go to. And if you don't have peace in your marriage, forget it. We all need help. So you have vertical and you have horizontal. God is about vertical. Love him, worship him, serve him, cultivate a dynamic relationship with him. A great Christian life is not a gift. You cultivate it. Sometimes I read 100 chapters of the Bible a day. I just lock myself up in the toilet. My husband has walked, he's tired. I don't want to disturb him. I run to the toilet. Father, what is the book of Ephesians saying? God, what is the mystery behind the book of Matthew? Explain it to me. I want my mates to be scarce. I don't want to carry a usual and normal anointing. God, expose something to me. And there's no shortcut to it. Any church you go and it's only gimmicks. Come and buy this handkerchief. Hey, come and buy this water. The word, every other thing will fail. It is the word. Go to a church where they sell handkerchief and everything to you. After you are falling and you stand up, what happens?
the word. It is not a gift. A walk with God, a deep walk with God, is not a gift. You cultivate it. You make up your mind. When your mates are sleeping, you say, no way. One of my mentors, I don't know if he was born again or not, he's dead now. He's one sage in my country. His name is Chief Obafemi Awolowo, son, S-A-N. That man was a lawyer. I like biographies a lot. And the man said, when my mates were busy wasting their time with women of loose virtue, I was busy burning the midnight oil. That man stood out. Many leaders in my country, Nigeria, had 3 wives, 6 wives, and after they died, everything, because it doesn't belong to one person. But that man, till tomorrow, his family, his dynasty stands. While my mates were busy wasting their time with women of loose virtue, I was busy burning the midnight oil. When your child went to school and the child got 30-something position out of 30-something people, and you are still going to the salon to fix your hair. You cannot fast and pray. And say, Satan, you cannot take this seat. Except this boy did not stay here. No child that ever lived here will go to hell. No child that ever lived here will ever live his life unsuccessfully. You pray and you battle for yourself. Was it not Bathsheba that got the throne for Solomon? Some of you women, you are too busy, you have become barren. You have 5 friends, one in Bristol, one in Northampton, not one in this, and you'll be explaining gallivanting all around. But the devil is dealing with your husband and dealing with your children. You need to reduce. It's not every call you pick. There's some names you must delete from your phone. The greatest tragedy of life, or one of the greatest tragedies, is to be surrounded by people that are irrelevant and unnecessary to your destiny. Relationship matters. In the horizontal relationship, it talks about men. The vertical talks about God. The horizontal talks about men. And we have 3 types. Common knowledge. You have your seniors. You have your colleagues. And then you have your subordinates. Till we see Jesus, there will always be somebody in the front. So you must know your senior. And in case you don't know who is higher than you, then honor all men. So you can be safe. There are people you must not hit. There are people you must not run your mouth against them. Even when they are wrong. There's a way you handle it. So that your lamp will not be put out in obscure darkness. If you know you can no longer stand the idiosyncrasies, you just walk away from them to be safe. To his master, he stands or he falls. Your seniors. You don't finish a bowl of KFC and then you start using your pastor as a toothpick. They didn't notice the offering that we shook. That must be the one he used for his tie. They didn't notice the wives weave on. They begin to talk anyhow. Begin to speak anyhow. He that created the eyes, he can see. Be careful. Don't befriend anybody that criticizes men of God. Don't befriend. Don't let them discuss your pastor in bad light in your house. I can't be telling you what I've seen in life. How heaven replied. Be careful. Because even the high priest is taken from among men. God knows he's not perfect. He still took him. When God was going to deal with Saul, he took him to a mountaintop, Mount Gilboa. If you've been to Israel, that's the only mountain where rain does not fall. The only mountain that has no grass. Because David caused it. Publish it not in the street of Asgard. Tell it not in Gath. He said, let there be no dew nor rain upon you. Till tomorrow, he said there. When God was going to deal with Aaron, Israel was not there. Took him out and removed Israel. When God was going to deal with Moses, Israel was not there. Till tomorrow, nobody knows where he died. Don't dance where angels fear to tread. Please, spiritual things are very slippery in nature. Be careful. For instance, my husband is my pastor. And there's a thin line. So sometimes I wake him up and I say, I hope I have not trespassed. Sometimes I tell him, I'm speaking to my husband, not my pastor. So let's get it right. Because I don't want to be another Vashti. I don't want my crown to be removed. I still give my husband prophet's offering. I still bless him. When I get to church, I start being a wife. The man of God, my administrator is here, my boss is here. Because the privilege, double honor for me to be pastored by my husband. So I honor him. Let's talk of you as a church member. The high pastor, you can never be high. Hi, how are you? I don't care if you are in London or you are anywhere, it does not matter. I'm talking about Bible culture. That will be honored. We may be age mates, but we are not grace mates. Your pastor may be as young as your grandchild. That is the story. When God lays his hand on somebody, you honor the person. Relationship matters. This is how to be safe. In case you don't know whose anointing is higher than your own, honor all men. You can't see me stand like this to greet anybody. Bless you. Because I don't know what you encountered today. And I want to be safe. Yes, ma'am. Bless you, sir. Doesn't reduce you. There are seniors. He's an army. Know your mates. Know the generals. Know the lieutenants. Know the brigadiers. Many people's prayers are not hard today because, like I told you, life is not governed by miracles. It's governed by principles. You shift. There's a way you are positioned for blessing. You tilt like this. Rain of life will beat you. A woman needed a baby, and she went to a man of God that I know. And the man of God said, I should tell you that you're going to have a child, and that child is going to be a great servant of mine. And true to it, the woman conceived and had a child, a son. That man was the first man to distribute, to let you know, I'm not telling you a fake story, to distribute tracts in Africa using an helicopter. The child that was prophesied. And one day they were in a meeting. And this child was rude to the man that prophesied him to life. And Baba said, did they not tell you your story? He said, yes. You know, success is more difficult to manage than failure. Success is a wild animal. If you don't tame it, it can tear you. Success. That's why some people are not promoted, because God knows if I should make this one successful, I will lose him. Even the Almighty will have to tiptoe around you. So he says, this one, remain on the same spot no matter what you do, so that you can remain humble. Because with just a little change in your pocket, because now you earn more than your husband. Can I help you? What do you need? As I'm going out now, don't finish the beans. So because you were the one that bought the beans. So your husband. Now you have arrived. And when a man arrives, God departs. Well, because you just traveled abroad. Where did you go? Ivory Coast. To go and see Bagbo, what's the man's name? So you return and you begin to speak through your noses. Even the Almighty God is asking the angel, what did she say? In prayer. I can't understand what you say. When the more God lifts you, the humbler you must become. And worship is an antidote. Let no dress be on you that you cannot use to kneel down when it's worship time. When you are sensing pride in your life, you need to worship some more. You need to shed some more tears in his presence. You need to wet your makeup. You will make it up later. Father, I just want to honor you. What is it that I have that you did not give me? Worship is the antidote, because every human being has the tendency to be proud. Don't tell me you are not. Every one of us can be proud. Don't tell me you are humble until some things are in your life. E.g. position. E.g. power. E.g. money. I know what I'm talking about. I've been poor before. With these things in your life, you can still kneel down to greet the people you used to kneel down to greet before these things arrived. You are humble. I can't go through everything I want to go through, but let me give you some tidbits, because I just talked about your seniors, your parents. Some of you have become Londoners. So when you come to the village, you can no longer prostrate or greet the woman that gave you suck. Hi, mom. Some of you even call your father's popcorn a popsy. And the old man is saying, what did you say? Some of you are great in London and your parents are wearing rags in the village. Rags in the village. My father said to me, when I die, he's 87. When I die, don't even bother to kill any cow, because all the cows you should have killed, you have given me to eat. My mother-in-law said to me, raise your right hand up. I did. She said, among your maids, this is how you will stand out. Some blessings are not given, they are provoked. Some blessings are not given on time. You provoke the blessings. When last did you send something to your mother? I have to settle my bills. I have to do this. If she didn't give you life, will you be in London? No, your mother-in-law is nothing. You are forgotten, and from the black pot comes the white pap. You don't want to see anybody from your husband's family anymore, because now you are married to the man. My mother-in-law is a witch. Not every mother-in-law is a witch. Even if she's a witch, you are a Christian. There's nothing she can do to you. Take care of her. Snatch her from your husband and take care of her. Whatever will make an old woman to suffer, you handle. You don't need your husband's permission to take care of his mother. Take care of him. Forget all the evils she's done. Just make up your mind. God sees it. Your seniors. When last did you bless your pastor? My pastor works, he's an accountant. It doesn't matter. That is why your sweat is not sweet. Every month, make it a part of your budget. My pastor, maybe £20. Put it in the offering bucket. He doesn't need to say thank you. God does not thank people, he blesses them. He doesn't need to thank you. December every year, you see me write 12 checks for my mentor. And last year, I started with 13. January is my birth month, so I put one, heavy duty, my birth. This is my gift to you as my mentor. Then I write 12. Every month, you must partake of my sweat. So I give it. Then I write another 12, and I give to my husband. Because any honor I cannot give my husband, I won't give to anybody on earth. I won't. If I can't kneel down to greet him, I won't kneel down for anybody on earth. He deserves the greatest honor in my life. That's how I live my life. The secret of champions is in their stories. I don't eat everything. I pay my tithe. I give my offering. I tithe to myself. I believe in saving. And then I do my prophet's offering. I don't need to see my mentor before giving. He's already there. He goes to the bank. You know, every time my alert tells me. And when the alert, just like my offering, when I write my check, and then Monday morning, the alert says, I say, thank you, Lord, for accepting this offering. I'm grateful. Because he says, if you do not serve me with joy and gladness, you shall serve your enemy. So it's not enough to give offering. I must be excited. Say, thank you, Lord, for accepting it. The bank has told me that you accepted it. I'm grateful. Then I move on to the next Wednesday, midweek, or the next Sunday. Life is governed by principles. And then you have your mates, your colleagues. Can I say this to every man here? If there's any husband and wife here, apart from pastor, I need to use you quickly for 1 minute. Husband and wife, please come. You're very close. Thank you. Please come. Now, everybody look at this couple. Let your wife be in the front. Good. Now, look at this couple. Now, this man is older than his wife. When God created Adam, and God decided to give him a wife, God took from the man's rib. If Adam was 30 years or 27 years, how old was the rib? So God made the woman with the same rib that he took from the man. If the man is 30, the rib is 30, and with the rib he made the woman. How old is the woman? Your wife is your equal. Your wife is not inferior to you. Stop treating her that way. Shut up. Yes. Are you blind? It makes you to look like a tiger. Leaders lead, bosses oppress. It removes honor and dignity from you. Hey, that is coming. So change the talent, change the talent. It shows you are not in charge as a man. The day you open your mouth to say, will you marry me? Even if she's 18 years younger, you are equal. You saw me like that before you came to say, I should marry you. So, you treat me that way. You treat me with respect. Any respect that you deserve and demand from your family members, they must give to your equal. You won't sit down and watch your junior brother insult your wife. One junior brother that has, I don't know what to call it here. In my country, they will say school sat, wounded. 3.5 credits, physical education, Bible knowledge, and Igbo language. And your wife is watching the TV, and the boy comes with that wounded school and says, I want to change it because it's my brother's television. And you are there saying, let him change it now. Let him. You are a weak man. You are a weakling. You are supposed to be the wife. The woman is supposed to be the husband. We had an experience when our marriage was about 1 year plus, going to 2 years. I used to have a sister-in-law who was a devil. She can hear this tape now because she's born again. Devil. Even my father-in-law, he was a king then. He died at 100. He said to me, this, my daughter, is the second in calabash to the devil. If you're not in Nigeria, I'm sorry. That means she's the assistant to the devil. Terrible woman. So one day she came to the house and she said she was going to beat me up. Why? Because I snatched her brother. He was very close to me now that you've been married. He doesn't visit me as he should. Blah, blah, blah. And she was funny. I just had a baby. And my husband faced her. My husband, if you know him, perfect gentleman. I hope you don't mind that I'm touching him, you know. I have my own too. Perfect gentleman, my husband, if not for preaching, he hardly speaks. But that day, that woman drove out her boundary or something. And then my husband said, sister, will you stop this nonsense? Woo, blah, blah, blah. And they were going to fight. And I would say, it's enough. It's enough. Then I will go out. Father, I thank you today. This is the day the Lord has made. At last, I have victory. And I will come again and say, you are still fighting. Stop it. It's okay. Thank you, Lord. That was the day God delivered me from her hand. And from that day, I said, my husband, if I ever respected you today, it has moved up. On your wedding day, your wife stays by your, you stay here, sir, by your left side. Medically speaking, this is where your heart is. And if you look at it, they tell you, you hold yourselves. You hold yourselves on your wedding day. When my father walked me down the aisle and I got to where my husband was waiting, he said to me, you are beautiful. I was very happy, but I didn't appreciate it until years later. When his sister told me that, when she got there, the man said, why did you come late? Bushy man, that's how you always do. That's how you always do. On the wedding day, I said, Lord, thank you for my husband. So you see, she was taken. Let's ask her, she was taken from your hand. You're close. That means with this left hand, you have to hold your wife, nurture her, do whatever you want to do, meet her needs. But you notice that the right hand is free to defend her and protect her from every intruder. Who is that? You can't touch me. No, you can't. This is relationship. Thank you. So your wife is your mate. And then you find African men. They will have their next Bible here. They are in the front. The wife is coming 1 kilometer with pregnancy and umbrella and Bible. Because souls are perishing, bro is going to teach in the Bible school. They'll be struggling with their wives to open the door and they'll be struggling. They will tell her, do, let me pass. Bushman. I have 6 more minutes. And of course, you know I can't finish this. So, and then you have your juniors. You know the people I fear most in life? People that are not as old as I am. People that don't look like it yet.
Because I thank God for all the big, big fathers in the faith and all the rich, rich people. They can't be God. Some of them have reached their peak. But those kids in the children's church, I fear them. Because I don't know what they can become. My life humbles me. Sometimes when I write a check, I'm crying. Can this be me? My uncle that I lived with, my husband and I are building a house for him now. I can't believe it. The man from whom I must take permission before I will go for fellowship is the man that is calling me mommy now. Mordecai, treat your Esther well. Because you don't know what your Esther can become. It humbled me. It makes me to start treating children better. Treating youths better. Because I don't know what program God has. My life is a message to me. And you will always have juniors. You have seniors, you have colleagues, your wife, your friends, and all that. And then you always have juniors. Learn to treat people well. Be gracious to people. Whether you know them or not. In this London, England, something happened about 3 or 4 years ago. A man was going for an interview, a job interview. He jumped on the train. And when he got to his station, he alighted, like every other person. And as he was walking, a lady was also among the people. The lady missed her steps and fell down. Everybody, this man went close. The lady was so embarrassed, she was pulling down her dress. But this man picked the files, put them together. Sorry, madam, sorry, and gave her. When the man got to the job interview center, guess who? Guess what? The woman was the head of the interview panelist. And as soon as she got there, she had relayed the story. So when it was the man's turn to come in, she just said, "That's the man! You helped me at the station!" The man said, "The assistant said, you got the job. You did your interview at the station." Stop being cocky and proud and walking as if you own everybody. People greet and then you barely answer. My daughter was telling me before I left Nigeria a few days ago, she said, "Mommy, there is this boss that we all feared. When you greet her, good morning, good morning, good morning," I say, "Shut up! I heard, I just didn't want to answer." She died last week. Nobody owns the world. You are here for some time. While the stage light is on, treat people well. As I close in the remaining 3 minutes, please take note of the following. Whether you are relating to your senior or junior or whatever, I can't go into wife, husband. I have a lot, about 15 things. But let me say this, please. Every relationship, take note of this. Number one, every relationship must be defined. Purpose. Why is this person in my life? People are in your life for 3 reasons. Number one, for a reason. Number two, for a season. Number three, for a lifetime. And you must not invest the same way to these relationships. If somebody's in your life just for a reason, you don't treat the person as if he's in your life for a lifetime. So you must find out when somebody comes into your life, why is this person? Every relationship must be defined. That talks about purpose. Number two, don't be too desperate in forging a relationship. Or else you will become cheap. You want a man to marry you, and because of that, your neck cannot stand. Anyway, you be doing your neck like this. "I went to Manchester and I bought you this." And when you become too cheap, the man will not marry you. Stop running after your mates. Stop carrying their bags. God has a way of providing a platform where you will meet them. Don't cheapen yourself. You're in courtship and then you go to the brother's house. You will cook. You will wash. You will do everything. And you allow the man to go to the Holy of Holies. So no longer is it looking forward to anything. Don't cheapen yourself. Increase your price tag. Don't be desperate. Number three, Every relationship must be deliberately cultivated. Accept who the person is and cultivate. If you want the relationship, you cultivate it. If it is one-sided, then stop. When the relationship and the brother keeps buying things, and you won't give nothing, watch out. Number four, avoid parasitic relationships. Parasites only suck life out of you. Any relationship that they just want to lean on you, that's all. Avoid it. Number five, there must be deliberate investment into every relationship. Seed sowing. Time, money, gifts, prayers. There must be. Number six, avoid ungodly relationships. Ungodly. Any relationship that does not help your spiritual life is not profitable to you. Anyone that entices you, come and sin. Watch out. If a sister holds your tie while you are in courtship, don't marry her. If a man slaps you while you are dating, don't marry. He will kill you after marriage. Be careful. Number seven, if you are not traveling in the same direction, don't go. You want to marry somebody, you are a Christian, he's a Muslim. It doesn't matter. Faith, it is one God, you are lying. Religion is powerful, very powerful. How will you raise your kids? What happens on Sunday morning? What happens on Friday morning? Religion, there are some things that play crucial roles in every relationship, particularly marriage relationship. Money, religion, sex, so many things. So you cannot just push it under the carpet and say, sweep it under the carpet and say, no, it doesn't matter. It matters. And as a Christian, don't marry a non-Christian. The devil will automatically become your father-in-law. And he will not need any permission to come and visit you. So. And the last one, avoid time wasters. Time is life. Money is life. There are some phone calls I don't pick. Because I know that person will not spend more than less than 30 minutes. And I don't have the time. I'm too busy pursuing my life and my destiny. Somebody calls you and the person must speak for 45 minutes. Don't you have something else to do? Somebody visits you. I was just passing and I just said that I should visit you. And you must sit down. You know this terrible aspect of our culture. And the person will sit down. And you want to do something upstairs? Well done. Well seated. And you see, bless you, ma'am. And the person sits down and says, you should change the video. Well, you know, avoid time wasters in every relation. I believe God that if I have another opportunity, I'll be speaking about the family to you. I have some things for singles, for children, for everyone. You are blessed in the name of Jesus. Thank you.